Hello and welcome to Statistics 222, also Education 351A, Autumn 2020. The course is Statistical Methods for Longitudinal Research, and I'm David Ragosa, the instructor and the instructor since I created this course almost 10 years ago. The purpose of this audio message is to introduce you to how we do this remote asynchronous instruction. Asynchronous is the registrar's new term for you can listen and do the course whenever you like, which is something I did in the spring quarter also, and that seemed to work out okay in these peculiar times. So the purpose of this audio message is to just acquaint you with how this course will function with lecture slides and audio companion, imitating what you would see and what I would say in class. And along with the background materials, all of which are linked on the web page, that constitutes the materials for the course, and we'll try to make it as useful as we can. So along with these audio comments are the lecture slides for week zero, and this is just an attempt to imitate what I'd say, the beginning of the first day of the course on how the course operates. And so what you will see by downloading the lecture slides, listening to the audio companion, is an imitation of what we do in class, with the exception of things I write on the board to go along with the lecture slides and any interaction we would have. We lose that, but we gain flexibility. We gain the ability that you don't have to sit for 2 hours straight, which I think is a good thing. You can do this in pieces. And so let me walk you through the various pieces or components of the course as a way of getting started. So on the web page, and this is PDF page one, redundant, but it kind of gets us in the habit of how we'll do the course week one onward, is a markup of the web page, PDF page one of the lecture slides. We're calling this week zero. And what we have is title of the course, me, my email address, which of course is a good place to tell me about things you can't find or anything else you need. The course webpage you've already found, that's hosted on GoDaddy, so it does work. You'll notice the difference in responsiveness. If you want to see the full course, you can always go back. You go back every year, but the last time this was offered was autumn 2018 because I was on sabbatical last fall. So I wanted to do this course whether or not we got to do it for real. We're doing it for remote. So we have the lecture slides. There's also links to the music I would play before and after class, or at least YouTube versions thereof. And you're welcome to dip into that. The registrar's information on PDF page one and in Explore Courses, a good place to go, says we're only doing this for 2 units and it can be letter credit, no credit in regular years or prior years. Let's call it before COVID. This was 2 to 3 with an extra unit for doing a small research presentation, which was one of the most interesting things of the course. People would come and present me with some work they'd done in addition. Often people take this course because they have research underway or are planning research that uses data over time, and for the design and analysis, we get to talk about it. We lose that part this year, so it's just the 2-unit base, and I'll explain the work and the grading unit. We have our webpage, our course outline. I always label things preliminary just because we can change them, but we probably won't. Gives you an idea of half the course is on growth curves, that is rate of improvement, and half the course is on durations, time to reach a level, whether that be survival or not, mastery or not, or it could be on-off processes. So we're doing both rates of improvement, growth curves, and survival analysis. And of course, we'll get deeper into that as we get into content. I'm just doing logistics today. So one large part of the web page goes under the item texts and resources for course content. And this may be overkill, but what I do, and because these course pages get used in this and other courses, sometime down the road when you actually need to use these methods, such as in your own research or working with others, I tend to link everything that might be useful. That is, it's an overflow of resources. I also come, being 69 years old, from generations where you actually had to get up, go out in the rain, and stand in line at some library window to actually get things like journal articles that you might need. And so I take some joy, since I started doing web pages 25 years ago, in linking all things that I might want to have looked at. And so we have a number of texts. You don't have to read all of these, but I'll just mention a few of them. They're here. We will draw from many of them a little bit here and there, and so you know you have the full access if you want it. Stanford Access requires you going through the Stanford proxy. If there's issues about that, I can say more about it in week one. So the text by Fitzmaurice, Laird, and Ware, Jim Ware was Brad Efron's first PhD student from Harvard, is a very good book on the growth curve part of things. And they've added in the second edition a lot of R. And so that's something we'll draw from, especially for design analysis of experiments. A second item, Judith Singer and John Willett. John Willett was my first PhD student at Stanford, is a very nice, very chatty, that is less technical book, doing both growth curves and survival analysis, because he saw what I did. And that's been a popular book, and they have all their examples worked out in various computer packages at the UCLA repository. UCLA keeps changing the name, but IDRE is their new fancy name, and the PowerPoint. So you have a lot of resources there. We'll dip into a number of their examples. And the third item is the hero of this course, at least for good parts of it, Doug Bates, who developed LME4, and before that, NLME. That's the R packages for mixed models. Doug has moved on and does Julia now, which is still our data structures. So if you want to do it within Jupyter, you're more than welcome. He put together a draft book, which we'll draw from, and then we have links to all his talks, and we'll pull slides from that quite generously throughout the course. So we should salute Doug Bates for providing us with such good material, much better than the Fortran programs I wrote to do the same things in the 80s. So recognize superior achievement. Hooray for Doug Bates. Okay, and then we have another. Peter Diggle wrote a very famous book, Handbook for Statistical Analysis Using R, has three longitudinal chapters, two growth curve and one survival analysis. It is a remarkably useful tome. It's in its third edition. We have the full second edition. Third edition may well become available. And the packages are up on R, and we'll pull from that a number of our examples. Peter Diggle wrote a famous analysis longitudinal. It's rather technical. Scott Ziegler, provost, I think, of Johns Hopkins, analysis longitudinal data. It does various other, from the 90s, ways of doing computing. We'll come to those. And then there's a number of other interesting books. Lots and lots of activity in longitudinal research last 15, 20 years. And then the final books are on, final items are on survival analysis. Rupert Miller, one of our great founders of Stanford Statistics, has a very good basic text doing Kaplan-Meier and Cox regression as a tech report. And then there's a number of other good books that will come to. Terry Thurnau is a stat PhD. He's done a lot of wonderful book, and he wrote the Cox regression packages in R. And so we'll come to all that. So that's just a giant overkill of links, some of which you may find useful now or later, but do not feel you have to work through them at all. I will show you, I'll bring forth what we're going to use from each of the books, but I wanted to put it all in one place. Not trying to overwhelm anybody. So grading exams and credit units, as I say, this year we're just doing the two-unit base version of the course. And what we're going to do is just have one take-home problem set drawing from the entire course. What we do in prior years before COVID is for two units there would be a problem set and an in-class exam. We don't do those anymore, so we'll just have maybe a little longer. Usually problem set was four exercises. This might be a little longer, but it'll be about the same. And how I provide the corpus for these is each week we have two different postings. One is review questions, which are practice questions with the solutions are posted, and you'll see those even in the week one stub that I put up on this year. So we have review questions with solutions. Those are your practice work, and those are good to look at. They augment what we did in class, sometimes extending it a little bit. And then there's exercises, which don't have solutions. And what I'll do is pull from those exercises a few, between four and six of these that I'll post as a problem set for the credit and grading. So that's how we'll do it. Everything will be taken home. We can discuss how to provide those back to me. Could be, of course, usually it's just hand and hard copy. That's easiest. We'll talk about putting on a Google Drive or any other secure way of doing it. When it was projects, you could just do an RPubs posting. But here we can't post it in general. So either from your Google Drive that I can get to, or some other way. Just to say up front, do not send me Word documents. That's something you should not do to anyone. But so we'll work on that, and I can take questions from anybody on how to do this. We'll make it work, but you got to get them back to me somehow. So the course problem set will be posted, and I also post every week. You see we have class handouts, data analysis examples and other things, and I usually post an ASCII version and a marked up version that I would give you in hard copy just to have a little more. I also have PDFs of those, which we include in lecture, and I just pull those off and just give you a set of 70 or 80 course handouts all in one big PDF file. It's good for review or course review. I'll post that towards the end of the quarter when we post the problem set. Statistical computing, it's in R. What I do is take the current version of R as a beginning, a naked base version of R, and that add on packages every academic cycle so that I don't start using things that I haven't introduced you to. So 402, but you can use most anything. You'll see most of the examples are done in various versions of 3 over the year. There are lots of great task views that I have linked here, especially survival analysis and a few others. It's download R if you haven't done it. There is on week one, a start from scratch data example, how to download downloading R and reading in packages if you haven't done it. UCLA and Berkeley used to be the easiest mirrors to go to, but Berkeley kept getting its copper wiring torn up by scavengers. So they aren't a download mirror anymore. So you have a large number to pick from, but nothing local. But I'm sure you've dealt with that before. I go back to teaching these things in the time before R was, let's say, as dominant as it is today. There's various intro R packages. Again, that was more relevant 7, 8, 10 years ago than it is now to give people intros to R, but we will start from scratch. And so someone who had done other packages and wants to leave Stata, good for you, can easily keep up with the course. We provide you with everything. And those that are experienced can look at the minimalist R I usually do, that is the minimum, to get the job done, and send me much better code. I'm always quite enjoy that. But I try to do things minimalist, recognizing that some people haven't done a lot. But those that have will see it and see quicker ways to do things, and that's just great. Tell me about it. I'm happy. Okay, so page 3 of the PDF is where we really start the course, and I'm not going to go into content, but I wanted to show you the basic setup. Week 1 would be longitudinal research overview and analysis of individual trajectories before we look at collections of trajectories. Collections of trajectories. We should, just as a way of all getting started in the same place, look at simple a single growth curve. And that can be a very basic function, or it can be more complicated. And that's what we go through. And you can see the structure of each week. This is what I did pre-COVID. And I would come in then with lecture slides to show you. What I'm doing now for remote asynchronous is I also post those lecture slides, which are redundant with everything listed here, pretty much. But it's what I walk through and talk through. And we have review questions and exercises. And so that shows you example week 1, which I may tweak a bit. But here's the basic setup of week 1. What we do, and that continues on to PDF page 4, and that constitutes a quick overview of the course. Well, it took me over 15 minutes. The one thing to add, PDF page 5, gratuitously, since I will just be speaking to you, I provided one picture. I'm not too big on pictures, but here I am. I'm standing with Bradley Efron. This was probably one of the many functions statistics has carried out to honor Bradley Efron, and that's all good, but I am circled. I even have a name tag, and the only differences between me standing there in that picture is I would never be wearing long pants in class, and I would usually be wearing black sunglasses. So if you can draw those in, you have a good, at least, screenshot of what would be happening in lecture. And so that's the end of our quick overview, which I always run over time, is 17 minutes and so. So I thank you. This was a version of welcome and just trying to get people set up for real instruction, or real remote asynchronous instruction, starting mid-September. Each week I'll post the materials. The course is usually on Wednesday, so by Wednesday of any week you'll have both the lecture slides and the audio companion. Those will be linked right at the week marker, and that will be yours to use as you see fit. Thank you very much. End of welcome to STAT 222.